Now, as I was saying before, the community diary, we're in tough economic times. That's nothing new. But there is a surge in the type of gifts we're buying. And this next gift idea, I suppose, is a real sign of the times that we're in. Liam Horne, a career consultant with Slea Nua Careers, which is based in Ballinrobe, County Mayo, joins me on the line now. Liam, tell us about this gift idea and tell us whether, I suppose, it's popular or not.
Yes, well, we run SleaNuaCareers.com and we do interview training and CV preparation and that kind of thing to help people get jobs. And last year we launched our voucher for people to buy, effectively buy a CV voucher for a loved one. And we noticed this year it has taken off quite a bit. That last year it was reasonably popular, but this year it's very, very popular. That people are now looking to buy somebody a present that might have a bit of legs in it, maybe, or will help them to get on better in their career afterwards. So we're finding that people are buying our gift vouchers to get CVs for their loved ones. So it's an unusual one, probably, but it's quite popular. Mm.
And who are buying these now? Is it concerned mothers and things like that?
Yeah, well, parents for sons and daughters is still probably the biggest area. Right throughout the year, we would sell a certain amount of vouchers, and during the year, particularly around the times of graduation and after exams results, that people would buy them for sons and daughters particularly. But now even we find that siblings are buying them for each other. You find people, even some people who work together, believe it or not, giving people the present of a CV voucher, which might sound a bit contradictory, but everybody seems to be in a mode now of getting their CV updated, particularly those who are applying for jobs right now, but also those who may think something is coming down the line or know somebody who thinks something is coming down the line. So it goes right across the board, but primarily it's parents and some grandparents as well buying for sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters.
Do you think that the importance of the CV suffered during the boom when there were so many jobs, it seemed everyone had a job, and how well laid out and well presented your CV was might not have mattered as much, at least?
We're finding from dealing with people both in our face-to-face service and our online service that we're meeting people who've never had a CV before, believe it or not, and also people who've never done interviews before. But we've people coming to us who might have been working in a business for 20, 25 years, and the business may have come a cropper, and they're now looking to get their first CV ever, perhaps at 40, 45 years of age. So there's a huge amount of people for whom CVs are a new thing. And, you know, many people who are older remember previous downturns in our economy will be very familiar with it, but for others it's a whole new world and they don't know what to put down there. They don't know what tone to strike so that they appear confident but not arrogant.
And what's relevant and what's not, etc. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I suppose the CV is basically your life, but it's not your whole life. It's like I said, it's what's relevant. And I suppose that's where people get lost a little bit, especially if they are older, they have been working for years, they haven't had to worry about a CV. All of a sudden, everything's changed and they kind of have to go back to the drawing board.
Yes, people get confused because they feel some obligation to put down a lot of information. Mm. But what we say to people is, yes, you are obliged to show, it's best to show all you have done in terms of covering off all the gaps, but you're entitled to elaborate on those areas that help you in the job you're going for. So if you're going for a job as a bar manager and you've previously worked in bars and previously worked with, say, doing sports massage, write more about your work in bars and about your sports massage. You're entitled to make those decisions yourself. And to always think about what the employer is looking for. There's an intersection there where your skills, attributes and training meet the employer's needs, and that's where you need to be writing as much as you can. That's where you're interested and that's where they're interested, and is to craft your CV in such a way that the items that speak directly to the employer who's looking at the CV come to life.
Yeah, because I suppose, look, your CV is your first impression, because that's the first point of contact with a prospective employer. They haven't met you, you send in your CV, and these days there's hundreds of CVs being sent in for every job opportunity, and even opportunities that aren't there, just, you know, on spec. And a lot of them go in the bin, you know, so you really have to make an impact with it, I suppose.
And you must make an impact early in your CV. A CV is a sales document, and you must catch the reader's attention very early. And an exercise I would set some of your listeners who may have a CV they're sending out at the moment to set themselves is to take out their CV, fold the front page in half and just read that half of the page. If that contains 8 lines with your contact numbers and your phone numbers and this kind of stuff, and it doesn't do much for you, your CV needs to be fixed. And I would argue people should put much stronger stuff on top half of the first page of their CV. It's a very interesting exercise because most people spend so long giving contact details that they could tuck away nice and quietly in one or two lines and get to key things like key achievements and personal profile and things you can bring to the company. That's what needs to be in the CV very early.
What advice would you give out for, you know, when you put down referees on your CV? How many referees do you put down? Who do you put down? And it's different depending on where you're coming from. We'll say if you're just out of college or school, you don't have a whole pile of experience. Mm-hmm. You know, who's your referee? You can't really put down your mother because, you know, she's going to be obviously biased. We all would if we thought we'd get away with it, I suppose. But you know what I mean?
The rule of thumb about anything in terms of endorsing yourself or getting endorsements on your CV is to get the best available person you can. So that may be if you're 17 and you're a Kerry minor footballer, it may well be the county minor manager or your club chairman, for your club chairperson, for example. So, or it may be somebody who was the director of the musical you did in transition years. So you get the best available person who can be seen as someone who has got to know you and got to know your determination or your skills. And also bear in mind, don't put down somebody as a referee who might not be very communicative. You want somebody who, when they get that call, will go into some detail and give a good rundown on who you are. So, you know, there are, even by 17 or 18, you have come to the attention of quite a few people. And if you know, look around and see football trainers, producers in school, people you're involved in Farroga Club, different things like that, and you'll find that there are people there you can call on to be your referee.
And make sure they're aware that they're going down on your CV as well, because you don't want a possible employer ringing up someone and them, you know,
not remembering.
Are being prepared, exactly.
Well, of course, it could work in your favour. They might think you're somebody else even better, but I wouldn't like to run the risk.
No, better to be straight up, I suppose. What about people who might be tempted to, shall we say, embellish their achievements on their CV in order to make that first impression and get the attention of an employer?
Well, you know the old saying that a liar needs a good memory, and it will tend to come back to haunt you because you will remember you know yourself you have some embellishment on there. So we would say to people, you know, your CV can only be as good as you are as what you've done. And quite often people have a lot more done than they realise. So I would say to people, rather than looking at making up stuff, look at what they have done with a fresh eye and see, well, what skills do I have here that transfer? Just like, for example, if you've been involved in running a local festival, that's something that might qualify you for a job that has got event management. But people often don't see the correlation between their personal lives, their sporting lives, their community lives, and their potential work lives. So there's a lot more going on, and that's one of the skills we would feel we have, is an ability to look at people's achievements to date and, you know, help them to see them afresh, almost.
And it's often more difficult to write about yourself than anyone else. You could write a very good CV for your friend or your brother, but when it comes to writing for yourself, it's just different, and you might feel like you're boasting or something when actually you're not. You're just calling it as it is, I suppose.
Yes, it's like advice. It's better when other people are doing it, or getting it. But, and that's the thing to do. You need to look at yourself almost as a third party. And, you know, an exercise we would say to people as well is, you know, say if you've done an interview, what would you like them to say about you after the interview? And if you feel, you know, that this is what you have, get other people to say it, even your own mind, get somebody else saying it, and they will see your attributes and skills better. A lot of people are quite sort of bashful and undersell themselves quite a bit. And there is a line between separating arrogance and confidence, but most people don't go anywhere near being arrogant, so there is plenty of potential to talk yourself up a lot more than you do. And be aware that the arena you're going into, the interview arena and the CV arena, allows for that and it's expected. And everybody else is doing it. So if you're going in all bashful and shy and modest, you're underselling yourself and you're writing off your chances. And
you won't be thanked
for it. People have a tolerance, particularly in an industry situation, to have a tolerance for self-confidence. If you are good at something, why hide it?
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, it seems like a great idea for a gift this year, and especially when people, you know, are stuck for cash, you know, they're trying to get jobs and they might be balancing up whether it's worth spending money on something like this or not. If you give it a gift, well, as a gift, well, then yes, that decision is taken for you.
If I could just say that it's available online as well. Even though we're based in Mayo, we do CVs all over the country. So if people go to our website, sleenewackcareers.com, they can see our vouchers on there if people want to buy them.
All right, perfect. Thanks, Liam, for your time on the programme this evening. That's Liam Horne from Sleenewa Careers in Ballinrobe, County Mayo.